Hello, my name is Shannon, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Shannon.
And I'd like to welcome you to our sponsorship speaker series. I'd like to thank all of our speakers, committee members, and volunteers who have done great service to make this happen. The speakers are being recorded, and copies will be available in the future. I would now like to introduce John. He'll be speaking on steps 8 through 12, treading the road of happy destiny. For 30 minutes. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is John. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, John.
And I've never done this before. And I have, it's been a while since I've been at this meeting, and I just want to say I love this meeting. I started my OA journey in this meeting, and I've been on the path of my OA journey 99% of the time in this meeting. So forgive me for my recent absence. I'm going to try to turn that ship around with some scheduling changes in the near future. But before I get started, I just wanted to ask my higher power to just give me the right words to remove any prejudices I have about this content, so that I can just kind of share with you what my higher power wants me to share with you, and leave the rest. Because I have 30 minutes to go through steps 8 through 12. So I hope you guys have said a prayer for me. Because I have experience of some beautiful people who have helped me along this path. And I have experience helping others. And I also have the neurotic experience of preparing for this. And a bunch of notes. So if I don't get through it, forgive me, and whoever is. And this microphone doesn't make it any easier, so I don't know if I've ever had to deal with that. But so right off the bat, if you are in this meeting and you don't have a sponsor, I beg of you, get one. Find somebody that you can share your innermost issues and problems with. And the people in this room, and just by show of hands, who has been through all 12 steps in this room? Okay, who in this room sponsors people? And who in this room would be willing to sponsor people? Wonderful. So now everybody's identified. People who need a sponsor know where to go. But if you go to enough meetings and you listen long enough, you'll hear someone that has something that you want. Unfortunately for me, I did not want any of this. a close friend of mine was watching me suffer through, various bottoms of my food addiction. And he finally goes, I got this guy Kevin you should talk to. And he hands me the phone. And Kevin's on the other end of the phone. And Kevin said some things to me that qualified me, like, you know, are you ready to go to any length? And, you know, if he asked me some other questions, and I waffled. He goes, okay, well, call me when you're ready. And I was like, wait, I'm ready. I'd never met Kevin before, and he took me through many of these steps in a very kind and loving way. And for that, I'll be forever grateful. And I've been through these steps through other 12-step programs, but the process that I went through in OA was very, very specific. You know, what is here is very, very specific. And I need that, because I'll figure out a way to weasel out of anything. And I have very good guides, and I have very good people to help me along the way. This continuing the journey, this 8 through 12, these are all action-oriented. They do not jive with my sloth character defects. They do not jive with my need to isolate. They do not, line up with my need to be right all the time and my need to control. They don't. They just do not. So I'm not perfect. I just have experience with these things. So before I run out of time, So I've already wasted 5 minutes babbling and I haven't even gotten into it. So we're on page 76, third paragraph, and the first word of that paragraph is noun. And you guys taught me, you know, after I say my step 7 prayer, when do I start step 8? And I really don't have to ask a lot of questions because the book is very specific. It's clear cut. And the first word is now. Now I have to get into action. You know, it says, faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. And here the book goes again, combining steps and, you know, being confusing. It doesn't even list what steps 8 and 9 are, but thankfully in chapter 5, how it works, it says, step 8 made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all, and step 9 made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So this is where it is. If you're not sure where 8 and 9 are in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, they're on page 76, 77, and I'll go through those as best I can. And then I'll try to get into 10 and 11 and 12. Okay. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. And when did we take inventory? We took inventory in step 4. We're basically, this step is designed to take us from admitting to God, to ourselves, another human being, all the harms that we have done, to going and repairing that damage. And it's very important. As a sponsor, I lose a lot of men at this place. It's very difficult. It requires us to humble ourselves. It's very terrifying to go to people we have harmed and admit our wrongs and promise that we're not going to do this anymore. When I look at this, I'm really moved by the fact that my sponsor, there was a lot of questions about how I do my amends. How am I going to do these amends? And he didn't have all the answers. But he said, let's take this to God and let's pray about this amends and we'll talk about it. And I guess the message that I have for you about that is, don't delay, but if you rush into an amends, sometimes it can go wrong. So just, make sure, I make sure that I'm working with a sponsor if I need to make amends. Because sometimes I'm making amends for things that I have my head up my ass and I don't know what I'm talking about, and I should be making amends about something else. We're going out there and we're going to repair the damage, and I'm paraphrasing from page 76. It says, if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. I love this book because it doesn't demand me to pray and to worship and to... but everywhere in here where it's saying we ask God, it's asking me to pray to my higher power. Anytime where I see the word we ask, my sponsor saying, that's where you pray, John. Yeah, that's where you pray, John. This is a simple recipe for a life beyond your wildest dreams, beyond my wildest dreams. It's a simple, simple recipe, but it is not easy. And it doesn't just come for free. It says here, remember, it was agreed at the beginning that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. So, I'm in a bargain. You know, I can't get this. I have to pay something for it. So the payment for me is a willingness to do this. So I'll talk a little bit about, because I don't want to get off too far off track, but I'll talk a little bit about the process of how I made my list And it's as specific as my sponsor, and this is not in the book, but my sponsor suggested to me that I go to Staples and I invest in a stack of these little index cards. And I'm supposed to put the person that I have harmed's name on this index card. Okay? I'm supposed to put the harm, not War and Peace. I cheated on them, or I stole from them, or I belittled them, or I was habitually unfair to them, whatever that harm is. And the nature of that wrong is, for me, because I'm wired this way, it's selfishness. And then my sponsor asked me to write on here, when am I going to do this amends? What kind, you know, is this amends that I'm going to do immediate? Or is this an easy amends? Or is this an amends I'm going to do later? This is a difficult amends. Or is this amends that I can never do? A, because it's an amends that the person's passed away. Or they're gone. I don't know where they are. And maybe I'll find them later, but I'll probably never see them again. Or it's an amends that's going to harm somebody else, so I can't make it. It's a cross that I have to bear. And if you guys want to talk about that later, but so it's either now, later, or never. And on the back, it's the kind of amends that it is. It's either a direct amends, which is the hardest. I'm sorry, face-to-face is the hardest. But that is the one that I see most often referred to and is the one that's benefited me the most, is to go directly to the person I've harmed and make a direct approach to that person. An indirect can take a variety of forms. You know, there's some amends that I can't make because I don't know where that person is. There's amends I have to make because I don't, that person has passed away. And my sponsor gave me some examples of an indirect amends is writing a letter to somebody and then reading that letter to a surrogate, either someone who would actually pretend to be that person or at a grave or just in your heart, you're going to read that letter to the person. There's prayer for the person you've harmed or to the thing that you hate, and I'll get to that. Being of service or being there is a big one for me. Being current with people that I should be current with, being of service to the people that I should be of service to, not being a selfish, self-centered, absent person in the lives of the people that I need to be present for is another way. And then service is another way. I had destroyed some things, I went and I did some community service and I did some volunteer work, and that sufficed. That satisfied an amends that I had to make, because it's weird because at the top of page 77 I have this highlighted. I wasn't going to mention it, but you know, through this process, it reminds us that it says that at the moment we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And I thought it was to try to lose weight, have a normal relationship with food, stop thinking about food. And it turns out that through this process, we are now beginning to move into having a spiritual experience, a spiritual life, and that's a life of service. And again, I can't just have this beautiful gift that you people are giving me. I can't just have it. I have to pay for it by being of service to these people about me, many of whom I don't like. And so even some of my children who I don't like right now. I'm going to leave these up here. So if people want to look at them after, and I'm looking at the clock. So, once we have our list, what do we do? we make direct amends wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So, man, that's horrible. Especially for the people on page 77, it talks about the people we hate, people we dislike. How do I do that? But it says, nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it is much more beneficial to us. For anybody who has ever gone to a person that they hate, dislike, they'd rather walk through fire than make amends to them, I'm here to tell you that sometimes they haven't gone right, but every single time that I've done that, it's been the high watermark of my amends list, the going to those people that are the hardest. And so there's a great prayer on page 552, but I'm working off of a third edition, so I'm not sure if it's the same in the fourth edition, but on page 552, there is a prayer for those people we hate and resent. And I won't read it, but if anybody wants to see where that is in the book, I can show them after. It's on freedom from bondage. There's also financial amends. This all needs to be worked out with others, with a sponsor, with other folks in the program that have gone through these things. Sometimes there's been infidelity. On page 81, of the literature, it says, if we're sure our wife does not know, should we tell her? Not always, we think. So it really doesn't say whether you should or you shouldn't. This book is really, and that's important for us to be thinking about as far as how do we pass this on, because that's a normal problem that you could run into. Sometimes it's just a burden that you have to bear. And God will help you bear that without having to overeat. So you can live with that burden. Because if you were to disclose certain things, if I was to disclose certain things, it would relieve me of that burden, but it would harm others. So there are certain amends that, you know, you just don't make. And that's because when to do so would injure them or others. So moving on, I'm just going to go back to some of my notes. These amends, to me, I lose more people when I sponsor people. I lose more people at step 9 than any other step. So I direct them to page 79. I always try to. Bring them to this prayer. It says, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position, our reputation, or face jail, but we are willing, we have to be, we must not shrink from anything. As a compulsive overeater, I didn't face jail. or lack of, job or anything. But, you know, some of the things that I did really required me to destroy my ego. But it just keeps saying, you said you're going to go to any length, you know. If I have folks that I'm working with that stop here, I'm not doing anything bad to them by stopping working with them. They stop the work. It's hard, but I'll talk more about it when we get to step 12, but it's unfortunate because they stay in the rooms and they remain abstinent, but they're this shy of their getting a spiritual experience. And I always feel like it's, you know, kind of the difference between a diet and a way of life, you know. This kind of work, if it's done, bring us to the promises, you know? It brings us, and there's hundreds of promises in the first 164 pages. These get the most advertising, you know? These get the most attention. But after we finish step 9, on the bottom of page 83, it says, if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. so lucky I get to read the 12 the promises, drew the long straw. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. These are, for me, these are extravagant promises. I'm sorry, but that, you know, none of them have anything to do with I'm going to stop eating Twinkies at 12, you know, by the box. Has nothing to do. It's me having a better relationship with my higher power. And my sponsor, you know, I always thank my sponsor for this, and I thank my sponsor for that, and I go to my sponsor and I explain, you know, how their direction helped me do this and that. And the fact of the matter is, I've never had a sponsor take credit for anything. My sponsor's responsibility and my responsibility as a sponsor is to share these tools and my experience working these tools. And that's why I love this meeting, because this meeting is about solutions, and this meeting is about how these tools bring me through this work. And you know, that's a nice transition, because it says, are these extravagant promises? We think not. They're fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but here comes the bargain. They will always materialize if we work for them. Requires work. Damn it. It's not easy work. And not easy, speaking of not easy work, what it comes after steps 8 and 9, this process of writing, this process of working with a sponsor, this process of ego deflation by admitting what's in front of me and my wrongs to other people, you know, that's just hard work. But this brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue. Doesn't stop. We continue to take personal inventory and set right any new mistakes as we go along. And so if we look at page 84, it doesn't necessarily list the step there, but we do have a list of the steps, as I said, on if any of people you're working with are like, where is step 10 listed on page 84? It's not. It's listed in how it works in chapter 5. But continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So if we look at step 10, and I have a step 10 worksheet, handout, which I won't hand out now because I'll lose you reading it, but I'll have it here. I think step 10 requires work with a sponsor, and I have my relationship with step 10 has evolved considerably over the years. I find it invaluable in my life today because it's kind of a combination of many steps, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's all those steps all in one. And, you know, it says, our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I love that sentence. This is not an overnight matter. So, there are people who I work with, who I sponsor, who stall out on step 9. They make their easy ones. They delay on their hard ones. They add their hard ones to their never list. But if they're going to continue to call me and they're going to continue to work with me, I'll take them through 10 through 12. So there's that. Because it is a lifetime process, and it's their process. So continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Who remembers those four horsemen? These are the character defects that I tortured in my fourth step. I reviewed with my sponsor in my fourth step. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. And we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. To me, that's Step four and five, I see the defect. I talk to someone about it immediately. I ask God to remove it. That's step six and seven. And then I make amends quickly. That's steps eight and nine. So this is a beautiful way to continue my sobriety with this one step. And I, if folks and I went to a great workshop at the OA Day of Sharing, and you can apply the four-step inventory worksheets, and I have some of those too if you want, to your step 10 process. I'm running out of time, but I did want to say that on the top of page 85, there are 10-step promises if anybody has never seen them before. It says things like, we will seldom be interested in liquor, food. If tempted, we recoil from it like from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given to us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We had not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has just been removed. And I know the guys that I work with are on the beam when I'm not getting calls with problems. I'm getting calls with, you're not going to freaking believe what just happened. You know, you are just not going to believe what's going on in my life today. When we work these things, results happen. It's interesting. I have a guy that I'm working with who's going through his ninth step amends list, and we're about to embark on reading through and doing some work to understand 10 through 12, and I have a guy who's finished, and he's now working with others. And it's amazing to see individuals at different places in their recovery and how they apply these, and not one of them ever applies them the same as I do. And so my ego gets into trouble a lot because I want to say, don't do it that way, do it my way. And if they're remaining abstinent and they're being of service and they're getting these results, these amazing results, I just kind of have to pray for God to take my ego out of the relationship, because once I get men through this process, 9 times out of 10 they call me with questions on how to sponsor. So that's beautiful. And a lot of times when they begin the practice of sponsoring, we co-sponsor the new man together, that's always a great thing. To help a sponsee sponsor somebody is a beautiful thing, and I'm jumping a little bit ahead on that. So after we get into a process, and step 10 for me is a bit of a preventive measure. It helps me to see and perhaps maybe prevent being a jerk, but it rarely works. I have to do this all the time. It says, you know, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will be done, not mine. These are thoughts which must go with us when? Constantly. So we can exercise our will along the way. As long as we wish, it is the proper use of the will. Our willpower along the way, it's the proper use of the will. So wow, the big book just gave me permission to use my willpower. I didn't realize, that's a new one, a reprint. So we're being given great direction on maintenance, maintaining, and continuing to work this beautiful process in our lives through step 10. Step 11. Suggests prayer and meditation. The entirety of step 11 reads, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And that starts on the bottom of page 85. And it basically gives us some good direction, not a lot of direction. Short book. So it does encourage us to seek outside help. We had a talk about Buddhism on the way to the meeting today, and there's so much opportunity for enlarging and perfecting our spiritual life. So I encourage everyone to do that. But the simple, direct, clear-cut directions on page 86 say, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Okay? And we're asking God for things like, you know, forgiveness if we've been selfish or dishonest or afraid. It asks, you know, we're asking God, do I need to apologize to somebody? Because I don't. I know I don't need to apologize to anybody, but strange, when I ask God if I need to apologize to somebody, all these names start popping up in the frontal lobe. So there is a, for me, there's a, you know, my higher power is very clear in his in his guidance if I ask. But if I don't ask, my ego blurs what happened during the day. So I have, I do have a handout on 11-step prayers if people are interested. It's a morning prayer and a nightly prayer, because it also says on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God. There he is. We're at, you know, book is asking us to pray again. My sponsor in another program, I'll call him and I'll say, Bill, this and that and that and this. And he'll, and he will invariably say, well, did you take that problem to God, John? And I'm like, no, I'm bringing it to you. And, you know, and you're going to tell me what to do. And unfortunately, you know, just a soapbox about sponsorship, there's a lot of people, sponsors, who suffer under the delusion that they have to help sponsees solve their problems. They don't. They do not. You know, my sponsors are human. I cannot, should not rely on them all the time. I can ask them questions and they can guide me because they have experience with this work. But my job is not to burden them with all of my daily problems and expect solutions. My problem is to take what they've taught me and help you. And I'll talk more about that. But my problem, my sponsor has just as much power to help me with my problems as I do, which is not much. So he's a guide to my relationship with a higher power. That's it. He's not a financial advisor. He's not a marriage counselor. He's not, you know, he's telling me, John, go find God. My OA sponsor is forever asking me pointed questions about where am I with God, you know? Where are you? Are you writing this? Are you praying about this? No, I'm not. I'm half measuring, and that's what I do. I have to be painted into a corner of pain and suffering before I act, and I'm going to run out of time. Shit. All right, so let's see. I just want to say this. When we do step 12, when we're dialed in to step 12, the things that happen in our lives become kind of like inspirational, and they become intuitive. And I just recently had my youngest son was diagnosed with cancer, and I really wanted to be angry at God, and I'm sorry. And as much as I wanted to be angry at God, I just couldn't, you know? I just could not. But I intuitively knew how to handle that situation. And I would pray and I would say, why'd you do this to me? But I guess what I'm saying is we are often surprised at how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. And the right answer is God isn't doing this to me. So anyway, if you do this, it changes your life. And I don't hate God because my son has cancer. If I didn't have my higher power, I wouldn't have been able to get through the last 5 weeks. So what do I do with all this? Because it's challenging and it sucks sometimes. But what I did not do is I did not go into the food. I continued to do the little disciplines. And the little disciplines include this prayer and meditation bit. So I get good at that. And good means that's code for I suck at it. It's good enough to keep me absent and happy. And I sponsor other guys with it, and they keep me on my toes. I can't teach it unless I'm doing it. I have to walk the walk. So I'll close with on page 89. It explains to me the answer to the question that my sponsees ask all the time is, how the hell do I get out of the food? Because I do this, John, and then I just go back into the food. And I explain to them that, you know, how long do you want to take to go through the steps? If you want to take a month, it's easier. If you want to take 6 months, it's harder. Because you got to get to a point where you're helping others. Because it says here, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. And until I get through this work, I'm not qualified to help another alcoholic. So I got to get through these 12 steps as quickly as I can. And sometimes that's hard, I would love to just say, I love this reading, and I'll close with this, because I didn't get a chance to talk about step 12, but it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all of our affairs. So how do you do that? And the best way that I find to do that is to be here, to be available. My phone rings. You guys have my phone number, so when people need a man in OA, my phone rings. I just got a call from a guy who lives in Rye, New York. I'm not sure if I can help him, but my phone rings. I sponsor men, but I do sometimes find men who I can't help because they just aren't ready, and that's okay. It's okay to say no. It's almost good to say. The book says to say no. You know, I find that, rock bottom is best. If you're at the bottom, it's really better. I was going to talk a lot about, you know, the fatal nature of the disease and our responsibility to lay out the kit of spiritual tools. But for me, this whole thing is such a beautiful design for living. It's a beautiful way of life, and that it's God-given. And my first sponsor who passed away, he was this great Irish Catholic priest, actually, and he used to say, it's a God-given gift, and the only way to keep it is to give it away. And so there it is. There's the, here's this beautiful gift, John, but the only way to keep it is to give it away, and I'll close by reading the second paragraph of page 89. If we do this, it says, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our life, of our lives. And that is the truth for me. I didn't get to everything that I wanted to get to, but thanks for stopping the clock. That's all I have. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have another speaker who will speak for 10 minutes on the topic of sponsoring members in relapse.
Wow, that's going to be a tough act to follow. Thank you, John. I would have given you my 10 minutes to listen to you more. Yeah, you can time me. That's great. Hi, my name is Toni Ann. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, everybody. And I was asked to speak today on the topic of specifically of sponsoring people who are in relapse. So I'm going to open up with my favorite sentence in the Big Book, and it's on Roman numeral page 8. It says, the very first sentence, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So I'd like to talk a little bit about people being in relapse. I know we don't get to talk about this that often in regular meetings, but these are people that have been around for a while who are struggling. And we probably all could say we know somebody, okay? Or perhaps many of us could say that that person has been me. Maybe it's me today or it's been me in the past. So I'd like to go back to that sentence and talk about the hopeless state of mind and body. So I'm going to kind of get right into this. When a person comes to me and they've been struggling, first of all, you know, I think that as John had said, I call it the gift of desperation. He called it rock bottom. It's a beautiful thing, and it was a beautiful thing for me. I am a relapse survivor. And I needed to have really that gift of desperation. I didn't even crawl back in this room on my knees. I slithered on my belly. That's how much pain I was in. I was to the point in my relapse where I was going to bed every night crying and waking up in the morning shaking. And it wasn't just because of the food. It was because of my life. It was a disaster. And I was a disaster. And so when somebody comes to me, maybe they're at that point and maybe they're not at that point. And usually I'll ask them, you know, is this the bottom for you? Are you ready? And if they tell me that they really are ready, then I'm ready to begin with them. Now, the first thing, because this is a disease of the body, there's a physical aspect to this disease, I believe, for myself. The things that I'm going to say are my own personal opinions and my own personal experience. So it doesn't mean that it's true. It's just my experience. I believe that there is a physical aspect to this disease, and I know for my own self. And there are some foods and substances that I cannot eat in any amount. So when a person comes to me and they're struggling, usually what I like to do is to help them to go through what their food plan is to clean things up. Because as much as I think that I'm eating a clean food plan, there might be things that I'm still doing that are affecting me, and that's causing me to, that physical allergy is being triggered in me, and it's causing me to go back into the food. For example, I'm working with a person currently who is like, you know, what she considers to be a sugar addict. And she's having a problem with her abstinence. And she keeps going, whenever she has a break in the abstinence, it's always something that's sugary that she goes to. So we started to talk a little bit more in depth about what she's actually doing and what she's actually putting into her body. And what I came to understand is that this is a person that eats a lot of sugar-free things, like drinks. There's a lot of sweetener going on, sugar-free sodas going on. And I said to her, is it possible? Do you think, could it be possible that the sweet things that you're drinking is causing that craving inside you that you don't even realize it? That's causing that craving. So I said to her, and when I sponsor a person, I never tell anybody what to do. It's always a suggestion. And I let everybody come to their own conclusions. You know, I said, you think perhaps you could give some of that stuff up? Would you be willing to give up the sweetener? Or would you be willing to give up maybe just the diet soda? And that person has to come to their own conclusion. If they want to try it and see if that's going to help them, you know, as a sponsor, I don't have control over what anybody does, and I don't tell anybody what to do. And let me just tell you that as a sponsor, let me tell you a few of the things that I'm not. I'm not a person's therapist. I'm not your mother. I'm not your nutritionist. Okay? And I'm not your best friend. Although I am friends, and I really am fond of the people that I sponsor, but I don't have that kind of a relationship with a person. My relationship with a person is very simply to be a guide. And what am I going to guide them to? I'm going to guide them to become unblocked from their higher power through these 12 steps. So that's all I've got. And I tell people straight out, you know, this is all I have, is these 12 steps. I don't have anything else to fix anybody. That's it. So we go through a food plan. And, you know, for myself, I mean, there were things that I had to give up that I never thought I'd have to give up. I had to give up drinking coffee recently, but that's what it came to that I had to do. Another substance that I can't have is I can't have butter. You know, it would be like, are we allowed to say foods here? Yeah. How about a little bit of bread with your butter? That would be me, you know? I could eat the stick of butter instead of just like a normal person. And so once I'm able to take these foods completely out of my food plan, I mean, in all forms, it makes it easier because now I'm not triggering off that phenomena of craving. So for a person that's a chronically going back to pick up again, by taking all of the sweeteners out, or if, say, a person's into, like, the salty, creamy, fatty stuff, taking all of that stuff out of the food plan, you know, and it's just asking a person to have an open mind. You know, the questions I ask them is that, do you think perhaps you could be wrong? It's simple. Is it possible that you could be wrong? And if the person has an open mind, maybe they're wrong, then maybe they're willing to try something different. And I don't try to force anything on anybody. If they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. And you know what? If something that I have is not going to help or work for you, then maybe I'm not the sponsor that could help them. And that's fine. And so page 96 tells me don't spend a lot of time. If a person is not going to be reactive and be willing, then they don't. Maybe they don't have that gift of desperation. Like I said, I slithered in on my belly. I don't care what somebody told me to do. I was so done. I was ready to do anything. And that's the beautiful thing. So that's like the body part. But for me, you know, the greater part of my disease is really focused in my mind. It's I have that mental obsession. And so in order for me as a sponsor to help another person with a mental obsession, the only thing, as I said, I have is to take them through the 12 steps. So immediately I start them off with a doctor's opinion. And what I have them do is and I'm going to be practical, 3 minutes left. I ask them to read. I ask them to get a hard cover book, first of all, brand new. And it doesn't matter if I have 5 at home. I ask each of my sponsees, when we work together, to buy a brand new book. And I tell them that this is going to eventually, my goal is to help them make a teacher's guide, to work the steps so that they can, because my goal is to help somebody to recover so they can go help another person recover. As a sponsor, that's what I do. So I ask them to get the book. We immediately will read the doctor's opinion. They are to read the doctor's opinion. I want them to, any words that they're not sure what it means, or if they think the word is significant. For example, the word allergy. Everybody here probably could say, yes, I know what allergy means. But when I ask them to look up in the dictionary what the dictionary says, it says an adverse abnormal reaction to a food, substance, or thing. Wow, that kind of clears it up in my mind, and I get a little bit more clarity about what an allergy is. Okay, so I ask them to define words that either they're not sure. For example, the word annals, A-N-N-A-L-S. It's not a word that we commonly use in our vocabulary, or a word that they think is significant. Perhaps the word recovery is significant. So look it up in the dictionary. And then I go through a format with them where after they've done it, oh, and the thing is I also ask them to highlight it. And anything that they think is significant, I want them to make a little note in the margin. But here's the trick for me. I say to them, I don't want you to interpret this story according to you. So it's not going to be the doctor's opinion according to Tony Ann. It's the doctor's opinion according to what Dr. Silkworth was trying to say. I want you to tell me what the author means, not what you mean. Because it's not about how I interpret this story. It's about what the author was trying to tell me to do. Okay? So that's a little bit different for me. So we go through that and we talk about in the first chapter, what is Dr. Silkworth trying to say? What is he saying about the allergy? What is he saying about the mental state, the restless, irritable, discontent? And then we go through that. And then we go through each chapter, you know, page at a time, and doing the same thing. And as we get to the part where there's the steps, after, you know, there's little written assignments that I give, and then as we get to each one of the steps, we begin to work the steps together. My sponsor tells me that anything I breathe life into will gain strength. She says that if I breathe life into a story, if I give a lot of energy to the story, then the story will pick up on energy, and it begins to grow. So that if I have to tell a story, and I talk about it and talk about it, eventually what's going to happen is the story will grow roots and then sprout branches. And then where does Tony Ann live? In between the roots and the branches of my story. And so as a sponsor, I do not let the sponsees tell me a lot of their story. I will listen for a few minutes, and then I cut it off. I don't want to hear about that. And it's a little bit surprising for some people when they realize that I'm not going to listen to it. You know, because I feel like it just breeds like more living in drama. I don't want to live in drama. And that's my thing of helping a person that's relapsing to get out of that. Let's live in the solution. forget about what the problem is. Let's focus on the solution. So as is, I know I'm running out of time. 10 minutes is really fast. it's like the chopped kitchen. Okay. So, you know, I really try to get them out of their drama and into the solution. And the solution for me is really in the 12 steps, as it was so beautifully outlined by John. And really, like I said before, if they're not ready, I don't spend a lot of time. If they want to just live in their story, and I call it, you know, being in the muck, you want to live in the muck, that's fine, but I can't live in the muck with you. And I also tell people, you know, I consider it to be the hokey pokey. You know, you put one foot in, one foot out, one arm in, one arm out. I said, either you put your whole self in or you take your whole self out. That's what I say to them. I go, don't hokey pokey with me. If you're not interested, go ahead. Because I need to help somebody else that's interested. And that's important for me. Either somebody's going to put everything, if you want to get better, you put everything into it. Half measures avail you nothing. Otherwise, go do half measures and come back when you're ready. It's not that I'm going to be mean, but that's the truth. You know, when I come into this program, I found a sponsor that tells me the truth. I have a lot of people in my life that'll say yes to whatever I say. And that's not what I need in a sponsor. I need a sponsor that's honest with me, not hurtful or harmful to me, but honest with me, brutally honest, so that I can learn how to be brutally honest with myself. Because for me, really, that's what recovery is about. It's about learning how to evaluate myself. My job is not to control or tell anybody what to do. My job is a guide to bring somebody to a higher power, to help them to remove what blocks them from their higher power so that they can do the will of their higher power and continue, as was said, in usefulness and understanding. And an understanding is understanding of myself and my deficiencies. And usefulness so that I could help others. And that's pretty much basically it in a nutshell. What I want to do is, I just want to read on page 45, where it says in the middle of the page, and pretty much I'm going to get to what I believe is the whole crux of the book. It says, lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. Obviously, but where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Notice it doesn't say stop you from eating. It says solve your problem. Solve all my problems. And so as a sponsor helping somebody in relapse, I try to take them as quickly as I can through the 12 steps. I try to help them to diminish those allergic foods, as I call my alcoholic foods, in my food program so that I can eliminate the physical craving. And really, I try to help them cut out that drama, focus on the recovery. And I'm going to leave you with the words of Bill W. on page 8. He says that, how dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was the beginning of my last debacle. I was soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.